Alrighty, so this is the Nick Majerison podcast. Yeah, it's not the Cult of Nick, although you may well have picked it up on the Cult of Nick feed. This is me mucking about doing a podcast that's shorter, bit different to, well, massively different, in fact, to the podcast that I was doing previously. And I'm doing it again, I think, probably for all the right reasons. I'm doing it not because I think I'm going to make any money, but I'm doing it because I like talking. I like the sound of my own voice. I like rattling on about politics, news, views and reviews, stuff that's happening in the world and so on and so forth. So welcome along. Thanks for downloading and joining us in this episode one of the Nick Majerison podcast. And that's the format I'm going to follow. I'm going to do news, views and reviews and have a look mainly at stuff that's going on at the moment, in the now, and then comment on it. And hopefully we can draw from the comment of today things that might be interesting to the people of tomorrow. Because that's one of the strange things about podcasting. These podcasts, they sit on the internet. The internet written in ink, there forever. Like you're chiseling into granite your thoughts, your imaginings, and your often misunderstandings about the world. And it's strange, the podcast that I did previously to this still sits there forever with people downloading it. I think it had 21,000 downloads since I stopped doing it. People just looking at these old archive interviews and clips from my old radio shows and that kind of stuff. And I'm happy for it to sit there in perpetuity. You know, when I'm long dead, I like the idea of this ghostly voice echoing out, screaming, "Something's going wrong! What's happened to the world? Look at it, for God's sake!" Or, you know, maybe on occasion delighting that actually things aren't quite as bad as I thought. You know, I can be a bit of a prophet of doom when it comes to the news. Bear that in mind. I declare my bias. I don't know. Listen, I'm sat in a... Where am I? Sat in a car park at the moment. And what I intend to do is rattle off 20-minute podcasts that you will be able to listen to as you drive into work or as you drive back from work. And I'm anticipating that maybe you won't listen to them every day, right? Maybe you'll have a bunch of podcasts and think, I want that guy to rattle on about this, that and the other, and I want to hear his thoughts on the world. And maybe you'll use it like that. That's my intention. And like I say, I'm going to look at the news and I'm going to try and draw a comment from it that's not tied to this particular day. You know, I'm not a journalist, really. I've done a bit of journalism. I've looked into a few things, mainly when I've been working with John Gaunt. Certainly that's my most journalistic period, where we looked into a number of stories, some of which were still shake me to the core to this very day. More than anything else, though, I'm an opinionator. I'm a philosopher, right? Yeah, I'm a philosopher. You know, I used to say that on my old radio show that I did on Hallam FM in Sheffield, that I was a philosopher. That's what I was. I'm a sophist, right? I'm a very specific form of philosopher. I'm someone who likes to play with ideas, take opposing points of view, run with them and see where they go. So, you know, I'm not a dogmatist. The sophists were the people that preceded the philosophers, and they'd argue with people for the sake of it. They'd pick arguments, you know, in the crowd with people, debate with them, argue with them, and often say things they didn't mean. They were the original trolls. Yeah, I've got a lot of time for that. I think that's interesting. I think it's the way that actually you hit unique and interesting thoughts. And at core, that's what I am. It's what I've always been. You know, socially, that's what happens. If I'm sat at a dinner table and everyone has the same point of view and they're all saying the same thing about something, I do like to be the person that challenges that point of view, whether or not I agree with it or not. You know, I'm that guy, right? And the weird thing about that is I don't think it makes you lots of friends particularly. Oh God, he's coming to the dinner party. That guy who argues with people for no point. It doesn't really work as a social tactic. And what happens, I'm only to put it in my pocket and use it professionally. Because it gets you an audience. It's interesting to listen to points of view that you haven't encountered before, being bounced around inside someone's mind. So like I say, I think I fit into that scope of raconteur, a philosopher, a jaded sophist, and a former media person. Well, I say a former media person. I've just been working in the media just now, working with a friend of mine who runs some TV stations. And actually, that's worth bringing people up to date. Since the last podcast, The Cult of Nick, what have I done? I was working at Talk Radio. That was all right. And then I wasn't working at Talk Radio. And I'm not really sure why. It just came to an end there. They just moved my shift, took me off the shows that I was producing, and it never really became clear. The conspiracy theory on it is that it's something to do with the Murdoch buyout. Rupert Murdoch bought Talk Radio, and I don't know. I always thought me and Rupert would get along. But maybe it's to do with that. I don't know. Maybe they just wanted to change the shift of the producer. And so what I did is then I moved on and I did some normal work, did a desk job with a temping company. And now, God knows what I'm going to do. I haven't worked that bit out. Partly why I'm rattling on into my little mobile phone, making a podcast, just because it's kind of fun. And it's something that distracts you from the bigger picture part of your life. But God knows, like I say, at the moment, doing some work for a mate of mine, doing some work for a TV station. I've been doing some media sales, that was fun. There's talk of me doing some presenting, maybe that'll happen, maybe it won't. I'm not sure. But I tell you what, this is the thing about the industry which I've grown up in and lived almost all my life in as an adult. The media industry, it's having big problems. Big problems. Big problems making money. Because a license to broadcast to a little patch of land in the United Kingdom used to mean basically you had a license to print money because you had access to the eyes and ears, the hearts and minds of that patch of land. And so you could sell them stuff. You know, you could, or if you worked in the BBC, you could sell them ideas. And, you know, they didn't pay for the ideas. The government paid you to sell them ideas. They say the BBC doesn't do any advertising. That's not true. The BBC is one long advert for a way of life and a way of thinking. But I always worked in... Well, I did a bit of work for the BBC. I'm embarrassed about that. And I'm glad that I didn't pursue that any further. But I mainly worked in commercial radio. And what used to happen in commercial radio is, like I say, you'd have a license to broadcast to a particular patch of land. And largely what you'd do is broadcast content that made people listen to adverts. And those adverts would make you money, right? And we're all familiar with this. I know I'm telling you this. Like I say, I like the sound of my own voice rattling on about stuff. But what's changed is this. Nowadays, when you had a license to broadcast, you had a license to make money, whereas now everyone has a global communication system in their back pocket. They can broadcast to the whole world effectively with their mobile phone. Do you understand how fundamentally that changes the business model of commercial media? It means a license to broadcast is worth less. Not worthless, but worth less. And the only ones that are managing, the only media organisations that are managing to cope with that are the ones who have planned for it. The ones who have thought, right, how do we augment what we're doing with the internet? And some of them are doing all right for now, but it's a much less stable industry than it used to be. It used to be a way of making quite a lot of money, just rattling on, talking about stuff. But I was always one of these people who worked in radio who used to say, do you know, I'd do that for free. I like doing it for the sake of it. I don't like doing it for the money. I like doing it because there's a part of me that it appeals to. There's a part of me that resonates to the idea of spewing my brain burps into a microphone and then other people bouncing those brain burps back to me in a form that I don't understand. What do I mean by that? I mean, I like spouting out ideas and then other people coming at me and saying, you're wrong about that, you're right about this. Have you ever thought of that? What do you think of this? There's something so deeply pleasant about that. And I think that the medium that I do that best in, although I try to write and I try to tweet and I like social media stuff, I think the medium I do it best in is the one you're listening to now, me talking. I think my brain communicates best through my mouth. I think that that's the way that I'm supposed to do it. So that's why I'm rattling on about this, that and the other. Let's see what's going on in the news, shall we? Friday, 10th of February, by the way, today, 2017. And I tell you what, before I get to the news, yesterday I read that Wikipedia has banned the Daily Mail as a reliable source. Is that about time or not? I'm not sure. Look, first of all, right, the Daily Mail, in my opinion, is not a reliable source, and it's never been a reliable source, really. And I remember discovering that the Daily Mail was not a reliable source when I was working on a radio station in London, and you could basically do a radio show on LBC if you picked up a copy of the Daily Mail and read out one of the headlines and maybe put a question mark at the end or said, oh, what do you think of that? And then people would ring in and they'd